Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Oh, I have started this and realized that I have just not even set up my screen at all whatsoever for anything that I need to make sure I'm here. But what I know is that we are here. I am Brian. That is Luke. I am broadcasting out of Waukesha on 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM The Shaw. And you're also listening to Luke over there in Madison in an undisclosed location, but broadcasting out of the Solidarity Realty Studios on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app, as always, and you can always call us at 844-967-2789. Yes, we did get the phones working just before the show started at 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text anytime. That's the stuff. We're here. We are together. I am now going to put my screen together while Luke says hello and talks about what we're going to get into here.
Yeah, happy Wednesday, Brian, and you can join the show. Share your tangent with us, 844-967-2789. I'm going to be taking your calls all hour long, but not broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios, but Solidarity Realty does have a tangential role in where I'm broadcasting from.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's great. Check them out if you need any. Yeah, if you need any home realty services, I highly recommend them. But Brian, we got to talk on the air briefly together yesterday as the January 6th Select Committee hearing was wrapping up, and we got to share our initial reaction.
Immediate reaction, like literally 2 minutes after it was done.
Yes, and so it was fresh, hot off the presses yesterday about the news that Senator Ron Johnson had staff reaching out to staff from then Vice President Mike Pence on January 6, 2021, offering to hand deliver the fraudulent electoral votes for Wisconsin and Michigan on that day. I do want to correct the record. I had referenced from my quick reading and the testimony at the January 6th that it happened after the violence that occurred on January 6th. It was actually around 12:17 that afternoon, East Coast time. So it was right before the Capitol was ransacked. So I want to correct the record because said yesterday that it happened after the violence, but it happened before the violence.
When they were looking to deliver, what they were trying to do is basically, They thought they were going to walk into a peaceful situation where Pence is just going to go, yeah, here you go. Oh, here's the electors that I just got hot off the press. And Ron Johnson could be like, I was the errand boy who did it.
Yeah, he wanted to be the lackey. He wanted to be the lackey to hand deliver the results. So we got to react to that on the air yesterday. But then the senator was asked by some press on Capitol Hill as he was leaving
As you'd expect as being, a senator,
right.
It happens all the time.
He was referenced in the January 6th hearings yesterday. And he gets cornered a lot. There's been a lot of videos in his tenure. Again, he's at the end of his second term. Promised that he would never run for a third term, but he's breaking that promise by running for re-election
this
fall.
What are promises in the face of Donald Trump, right?
Right. In a post-2016 world, What you say before that doesn't necessarily matter as much anymore. But so he's breaking that promise. But there's been many, over the last 12 years, Senator Johnson's been cornered in the halls of Congress many, many times. This is a first, what happened yesterday when he was being questioned about the news that broke during the Select hearing yesterday. And so he's walking away, and we've got some sound that we're going to share of the senator. We also got some Marquette University Law School polling that dropped today, as well as a number of other Wisconsin breaking headlines that we will be getting to throughout the hour, as well as your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Again, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. And so we got some... We got some reaction from the senator. I can prove it, because when I say Brian, you usually respond.
Damn it.
But the senator was leaving Capitol Hill yesterday, Brian. And
the brave senator.
And I feel like we've all done this before. We can all say that it's probably been a trick you try to use to get out of an awkward conversation when somebody you don't want to talk to in public kind of catches you off guard and wants to come up and talk to you.
Or let's say you meet someone and you swear to God you know them, but you don't know their name. And you also know that you don't want to get into small talk because it'll get rid of your ruse really quick. What I do is I get aggressive and I'm like, hey, man, what's up, buddy? Hi, good to see you. What's up? I shake their hand, get aggressive. Like, I'm the one, like, they're supposed to remember who I am type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, awesome, man. Awesome. I got to check you later. I'll give you a call. I'll text you later. We'll figure something out. It'll be awesome. I'll see you. I gotta run right now. Bye. I'm crazy. I'll see you. Bye. And then I shake their hand and I walk away. You get aggressive. You get a little engaged. And then you leave them going, who the heck was that? Because they're probably thinking the same thing too, like, oh my goodness, I should know this person. But again, I'm not a senator, so where everybody knows me. But the person I did that to was Giovanni Ribisi, who's actually a Hollywood actor. I thought he was a bar regular that I had no idea. I'm like, I can't talk to this guy right now. I'm like, hey man, what's going on? What's going on? To see you, buddy. I'll see you, buddy. Bye. Ron Johnson doesn't have that luxury being a senator.
It's harder to use that tactic with the reporters, because reporters in their own nature, Brian, are fairly aggressive.
They are dauntless, too.
Right.
They will ask the same question over and over again, as you'll hear.
The good ones will, yes. But so Senator Johnson used a slightly different tact. He pretended like he was on the phone, Brian.
Good move.
Yeah, it's in everybody's tool bag. Anybody's used that tactic.
I use that when I go out to like kind of to smoke a little bit. You know, I'll just go out and use the phone and like, you know, light one real quick and then just kind of walk in with my phone and then exhale as if nothing's happening.
So nobody's, but yeah.
It doesn't matter. They're seeing a guy on a phone. Whatever.
There you go.
But my ruse,
Let's use the audio from the reporter trying to ask some follow-up questions from Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, yesterday leaving Capitol Hill. Brian, let's play it for the people.
Know about what your chief of staff was doing with the alternate slates of electors? No, you're not. I can see your phone. I can see your screen.
And then he walks and doesn't say anything to anyone and then just puts the phone down. Like, doesn't hang up.
Doesn't
do anything.
Nope.
Just takes it from his ear and puts it down. And puts it in his pocket and keeps walking. And then the questions start. This is amazing. It reminds I don't appreciate your ruse.
Your ruse. Your cunning attempt to trick me.
Very good job. Not very cunning.
So, and then that was the first questioning. That was pretty much on the steps of Capitol Hill as he was walking out. But then the reporters kept following up, Brian. They kept asking him questions, essentially.
Monty Raju, especially.
Yeah, because you would think that the senator would have an idea of which staffer received the fraudulent electoral votes, how they came to be in his possession, and why he would be using himself. He offered to go in person. The staffer for Senator Ron Johnson offered for the senator to hand deliver votes.
Don't forget this new staffer, this chief of staff. That was like his first day. He was also borrowed over from the White House.
Yep. So we got some more sound for the people about these questions.
Either he let a mole in and then the mole tried to do something in Ron Johnson's name, or Ron Johnson did it himself.
Right, or Ron Johnson was also giving a new job, cushy job in a senator's office for the next 2 years to somebody that wasn't going to have a job anymore in the White House.
Huh.
Weird.
All right, how that works out. It's funny, but here's a couple of people coming after Ron Johnson and his first denials and stuff. And it just the way he does it is very fishy. I don't know if we'll get through all of this in this segment, but we'll start it right here.
I didn't deliver. We called them up. We called them up. He didn't want it, and we didn't deliver it.
Why did you even offer it without vetting it?
Exactly. we got handed an envelope that was supposed to go to the vice president. I didn't know. So we called out the vice president. He didn't want it. We didn't deliver it. It's the end of the story. Guys, this is such a non-story.
Are you going to ask who got it?
Are you going to ask who got it? Are you going to ask who this person is?
He just like plays it. He's so nonchalant about it, Brian, where he's just like, yeah, like an unmarked envelope came to my office for the vice president.
You know, and
it happens all the time. I asked if he wanted me to deliver it. He said no.
It's like forwarded mail. You know, like if your neighbor gets some, you know, you get some of your neighbor's mail sometimes. It's okay. It happens. We were just going to, do you want it? No, okay, I'll throw it away, but whatever, it's fine. Never mind the whole tampering of anything. No, it's okay. Let's see if he knows what's in it.
Yeah.
Was that the first you had heard of it when you received the envelope? And do you remember who gave it to you?
It was a staff deal. I mean, it apparently had Michigan and Wisconsin. I had no hand in any of it. Again, this lasted a couple minutes in our office, and the episode is over. Again, this is a total non-story.
Couple minutes to open it, find out it's Michigan and Wisconsin, and then call the president? Or wait, how did you know it was Michigan and Wisconsin? Or did you receive a package that you didn't check, and then you were going to just give it to the vice president? Or did you check the package, that's why you know? Or apparently it was, or how, what?
It's a very fishy story, but then he finds a lackey that he wants to kind of use as a scapegoat. He starts blaming an unnamed intern, Brian.
Oh, unnamed intern, what a jerk. We all know that unnamed intern, always a bad person.
Wasn't that the defense for George Papadopoulos? Where, he was an unknown coffee boy.
There's a lot of coffee boys in the Trump thing. You know, he's got a lot of coffee boys for a guy who never drinks coffee. Let's hear one more excuse from Rojo, and then we'll get to the last two after the break here.
Sounds good.
Are you going to ask your aides about who this person was? Have you asked?
We did. No, literally don't. It was a staff-to-staff kind. Somebody from the House, some staff intern, you know, said we got to, you know, the vice president needs this or whatever. You know, I wasn't involved. I don't know what they said, but somebody from the House delivered it to a staff member in my office, my chief of staff, called the vice president, hey, we got this. And the vice president said, don't deliver it. We didn't.
So it was a staff-to-staff thing with an intern, just some intern, whatever, my chief of staff, but it's my intern, just some intern that I don't know, or my chief of staff, or an intern that was given to the...
Do you think it was an intern for then? He was on January 6th, January 4th, he got sworn into Congress, but Scott Fitzgerald left the Wisconsin State Assembly, was the one that the State Senate, reserved the room in the Capitol for the fraudulent electors to sign their fake electoral ballots and then send them off to Congress, but then they didn't make it there in time, so then it was somebody from the House that brought it to Senator Johnson's office. I don't know, but...
No, it's all staff-to-staff stuff. I don't really know. It's staff-to-staff stuff. That's what they told me in the bathroom,
those
anyway.
Those pesky
interns. Staff-to-staff stuff, right?
Myself. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha.
It's true.
Taking your calls. Yeah, it is true. Taking your calls all hour long, 844-967-2789. But Brian, he was caught red-handed. And I want to, one more thing about what we learned yesterday and from our initial reactions from the January 6th insurrection hearings. Andrew Hitt claims that he didn't, and we're going to get to the last couple sound bites as well of the Senator Johnson.
I have the Andrew Hitt sound too, so.
You got the Andrew Hitt sound as well? Yeah. All right. Well, let's before we jump to that then, let's finish up the last
finish Rojo here, yeah.
Yeah, we got to finish up with Rojo, and then we're going to move on to the other headlines.
Right.
But we'll talk Rojo and Hitt.
So you know that Rojo is behind the eight ball here, and you know he's caught offhand because, one, his ruse with the phone didn't work. Like everybody knew he wasn't on the phone, especially since he clearly reacted to them talking to him rather than the person he was not talking to. Also, it took him a full minute, maybe a minute and a half, to get to his diversion talking point, And here's I can't believe he didn't lead with this. Like, this is like what he normally would lead with, but instead he was like, no, this is not an intern, staff to staff, just like the guys in the bathroom told me. Let me here we go. This is what Rojo said. It took him a minute and a half to get to this point.
Are you curious about the identity of this person? Are you curious about the identity of this person? Do you want to ask about
No, because there's no conspiracy here. This is a complete non-story, guys. Complete non-story.
Wait for it.
I mean, I still don't understand. If you get an envelope...
Listen, if this were a real committee, they'd be asking, why wasn't the Capitol secured? You know, who's in charge of that security? This is a total partisan witch hunt. You know, I was not involved in this at all.
By the way, it wasn't me.
I don't know why you're even asking the questions.
I wasn't.
Yeah. If it was, I may have been the sitting chair of the HISGAC committee, but
yeah. Here's the thing: if this is such not a big deal at all, then why do you care whether you're involved or not? Why are you so strongly denying that it had nothing to do with you? But also, you know, I didn't know.
Johnson's spokeswoman for his campaign on Twitter yesterday and today, Brian, just going off talking about how much of a non-story this non-story is too. Yeah. So she must have just took her talking points.
About it.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where she was so caught off guard as well. And she was just taking what Senator Johnson started coming up with, it's not a story. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
I'm swinging back. No matter what happens, I'm swinging back.
Just not one bit having a coherent response to this. And it does tell me that he was caught off guard. So it's interesting to hear.
But again, you have to reiterate. You got to remember that the lesser people handled this.
It was
people.
An intern, or it was my chief of staff, or it was their first day. But also, I didn't know it was in there, but I did vet it, and I knew it was Michigan and Wisconsin.
Big deal, and it has nothing to do with it. It's totally not illegal, but I didn't have anything to do with it, totally.
And even if it was a problem, Brian, I didn't deliver it. So what's the big deal?
So here's the final statement from Ron Johnson. Again, you got to remember that these are the interns. And how can I be bothered to know who works for me or who works for who? It's all just a bunch of crappy interns anyway, who clearly don't deserve to be paid according to, I'm assuming. Anyway, here's Ron Johnson.
Trust me, when this news broke, I asked the questions. Nobody knows. And these are interns. There's staff, okay? We have no idea.
But it was your chief of staff who sent this information over.
No. It was my chief of staff that contacted. He just came from the White House, first day on the job. He called up somebody he knew in the vice president's staff. Hey, we got this.
So he's admitting it wasn't an intern.
Did you see that? Listen, this is like 30 seconds, so I'm going to play it again. Because you've got to listen to the hesitation at the end when he kind of realizes that he just threw the White House under the bus. Let's hear it again and listen to him in real time realizing he just threw the White House under the bus.
Trust me, when this news broke, I asked the questions. Nobody knows. And these are interns.
Interns. Staff. They're practically not even humans.
But it was your chief of staff who sent this information over.
No. It was my chief of staff that contacted. He just came from the White House.
Uh-huh.
First day on the job. He called up somebody he knew in the vice president's staff. Hey, we got this. And the vice president said, don't deliver it to us, and we didn't.
That is the best.
It's very telling. It's extremely telling. And the fact that it's taken this long to get all these details, Brian, I mean, I'm hoping it's worth it because...
Oh, my.
This is a man that's been since... Like, on January 6th, he was just immediately downplaying it as a bunch of tourists.
Almost conspicuously downplaying it.
And we haven't heard the senator outside. He was one of the initial senators because you needed at least one member from the House and one member from the Senate to object to the electoral vote of any state to be able to begin debate on it. And for a while there was no U.S. senator that was considering it. It took some time. And Ron Johnson and Ted Cruz were two of the first people before you had, you know, Josh Hawley with his fist up and being all supportive of the insurrectionists. It took some time, but Senator Johnson...
Takes a while for that blackmail to take place, though, you know, so...
Yeah.
I mean, allegedly.
allegedly. But he was the one that brought up
not even
saying
alleged,
that he would object to some of the state electors. And now we're finding out that he played an even deeper role in the potential overthrowing of the peaceful transfer of power back in after the 2020 election on January 6, 2021.
So either he has no idea what's going on with his own staff, or he does, and he's guilty. So either he's incompetent, or he's incompetent, or he's guilty. I don't know what
guilty
to do.
Guilty or incompetent. Maybe both.
Can it
maybe
be both?
Brian?
Can it be both? Because again,
probably.
Don't you really love a guy who's like, you got to understand these are interns. These are interns, people. You can tell a lot by the way people look at other people and how they treat them. I thought it was cool when he brought me beer, but it seems like he just wanted to keep me quiet. Because I should be quiet and not sing, really. We'll not see you anymore, darn Ron Johnson. Bye, buddy.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same. And I'd change a single thing, even when I was the blind.
Yeah. That's kind of like the Republican Party of the entire United States. Whatever it was, I'm not going to change it. It's not my fault. And, you know, even when I was to blame, I'm not going to change the thing. But this one is more of a, you know, accepting oneself, whereas the Republican Party is denying everybody else's reality. Welcome
not
back,
all
everybody.
Of them. Remember, Adam Kinziger on the and Liz Cheney, both on the select committee on January 6th.
Are you talking about the communists, leftists, Marxists, you know, that are ruining our country?
I'm talking about the Republicans that agreed to be on the committee, but, you know, still didn't vote for
communist
impeachment.
Yeah, communist Liz Cheney, lefty-leaning Adam Kinzinger, you know, those guys. What a bunch of communists, huh?
According to
Facebook, where everything is true, that's what they are, is these liberal commie bastards. That's just really bad group to be around, you know, apparently, from what I understand. Luckily, we're so far left, we're not even like them, right? we're just Satanists, apparently. I don't know. Once you call Liz Cheney a leftist extremist Marxist...
Dude, they called Joe Biden, they call him the same thing. He's one of the most... I'm not complaining about the presidency right now, but as, generally speaking, of the 2020 candidates...
The dude fired people for weed.
Yeah, still, that yes, but... Of the 2020 options, he was the most conservative Democrat in the Democratic primary.
Of the main ones, yeah.
And he goes around saying that I beat the socialist. He's not a socialist, and they still frame him as that, Brian. So no matter what,
dude,
if you disagree with them, you're a socialist commie, and you could be Liz Cheney or you could be Joe Biden, and they're going to frame you in that light regardless.
And besides the fact, they're going to go and change the subject to the point that the gas prices are high and the president better seize the means of production to go and lower the gas prices or else he's going to be a communist. Wait, how does that... That doesn't
it
work.
It seems like
it makes
they're
no
banning
sense.
More than
it's almost
they're
like
banning
it,
more than just critical race theory in our classrooms, Brian, because people don't understand.
It's almost like you're complaining about something you have no idea what you're talking about. But luckily, we have people that know what they're talking about, and they're talking about it to us. We got a couple callers here. Let's take them. Let's see what our buddy Northwoods Terry has to say. How you doing, Northwoods Terry?
Good. Yeah, here's what I'd like to see happen in the fall. A 65-35 blowout administered by Lasry or Barnes or Godlewski or Nelson. I'd love to see it. 65-35 blowout.
So. That would be amazing. Again, they'll deny it, and they're already planning to deny it as from what I understand, because again, they don't have a new playbook. Why would you go and make it? They're conservatives. They don't do anything new unless the other one is completely, utterly broken. And even if they do something new, they'll complain about the old one that would have been better.
Yeah, the only election that they'll support is one that a Republican wins. And so if a Democrat wins, it's automatically a rigged election no matter what, while they chant USA and then also have party platforms that, you know, want to secede from the union.
Because go USA. United States of America. Terry, they're, yeah, I'd love to see a nice big
65-35 would be great, Terry, but I have a feeling it's probably more likely the best. I mean, Tammy Baldwin, when she won, was a 10-point blowout, and that was 55-45. So
I'll take
anything
that.
Anything bigger than that, I find highly unlikely, but who knows?
And we have
55-45 could be in the books because it happened only 4 years ago in 2018.
And we have some new polling that dropped today from Marquette. We'll get into that and maybe see who might be the better matchup, at least according to this poll.
But before we dive into that information, let's head over back to the phone lines. We got Joe in Madison on the line. Joe, how you doing today?
Oh, great show. Boy, this is the narrative structure of this one is just too good to be believed, isn't it? I mean, the story is in the tangents, right? The story is in the tangents. And I think as we look at this, Brian, you particularly with your acting background must really appreciate what I would like to call 3 points. Number one, the unnamed intern. Number two, refrigerator magnets. And number three, losing your job. Okay.
Yeah.
First off, the unnamed intern, doesn't that remind you of the character in Galaxy Quest who had no name and was certain that he was going to be killed because I don't even have a name? So
yeah,
we have an unnamed intern.
With a red shirt on, the Star Trek red shirt one. The red shirt guy always dies.
Yeah, that's right. So secondly is the refrigerator magnets, where we have the phrases that are just rearranged. There's no story here. This is all a conspiracy. You're looking in the wrong direction. I had nothing to do with it. They're like refrigerator magnets. You could just sort of move into different positions and, you know, have a different sentence each time.
Oh, yeah, like a different phrase or something like that. I was thinking more like Bull Durham when he's talking about interviews. Now, you want to say you're going to give 110%, you know, want to be a part of the team. Just catchphrases that are really good with the press because you don't know what you're saying.
Exactly. And the last one would be losing your job. I have heard different things that the guy, Sean Riley, I believe is his name, who is his chief of staff. And the most interesting tangent to me is that he hopped over from a year in the Trump administration over to Ron Johnson the week of January 6th. And I've heard it was either during that week or actually his first day was January 6th.
Ron Johnson alleges. First of all, it was the White House and the first day. I just threw them under the bus.
And you should just keep playing that 30 seconds again and again for the next, I don't know, 6-8 weeks, because that is the most glorious piece of, I mean, if somebody came up with that in an improv session, they'd go, that's brilliant characterization. If somebody actually wrote it, they'd be getting Academy Awards. It was the most wonderful example of a man who was suddenly realizing, oops, perhaps I said too much. Because here we have a guy, Mr. Riley, who hops over from a year in the Trump administration and then is right behind handing off alternative fake electors. You couldn't write it. It's just too beautiful. So let us rearrange our refrigerator magnets and think about that poor unnamed intern. God knows what will happen to the unnamed intern.
Oh, the poor unnamed intern whose name we all know because it was his chief of staff that he totally threw under the bus. I don't know anybody. I don't know. But first of all, now I've held on to something that I can finally, because again, the problem is with lying is that you have to keep track of it. So a lot of times it's better just to alter the truth a little bit so that or keep the truth open a little bit so that you can still kind of remember and not, you know, flub up a little bit. So when he finally latched onto some bit of truth that could actually let him off the hook here, he was very excited and then realized, so we didn't even
Came from the White House.
Came from the White House. Totally came from the White House. It was his first day. He just showed up here, and then he just wanted to go in and handed this package, which, of course, we didn't deliver. So that's it.
Which is still fascinating, because the Andrew Hitt piece of this, and I want to continue on to the phone lines, and we want to get to some of that Marquette University polling. But the interesting thing is, Andrew Hitt, in his testimony, testified, I was just doing this in case of legal means. I didn't know that these would actually get shipped to D.C. and like tried to be used on January 6th.
Let's hear what he actually had to say specifically. Yeah, and literally
let's use that sound.
In his literally 15 seconds of fame during the January 6th hearings.
I was told that these would only count if a court ruled in our favor. So that would have been using our electors. Well, it would have been using our electors in ways that we weren't told about. And we wouldn't have supported.
What did you think you were doing when you came up with fake electors?
Hang on. But also, just from, and this is reading from a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, Brian, and they do excellent work over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Go check them out. But Ruth Conniff has an entire story written up about this, but they take a screenshot of evidence from the January 6th Select Committee, the evidence submitted by the committee of the piece of paper that was signed by Andrew Hitt on December 14th, 2020, certifying the fraudulent electors saying that Trump won the state instead of Biden.
But we didn't think they were going to use it.
Pursuant to 3 U.S. Code 11, enclosed, please find duplicate originals of Wisconsin's electoral votes for president and vice president as follows. And then says who each copy is for. He literally signed saying that they were the original copies of the electoral votes for the state of Wisconsin.
Like I said, it's just like the end of Enemy of the State, where, like, you know, Seth Green's just sitting there going, yeah, I think it's Seth Green is just sitting there like, oh, yeah, I thought it was a standard training operation. I had no idea. I was just, we were just doing this as a formality, just a formality to go and, one, fake electors don't get made out regularly, just in case. There's never a just-in-case fake electors that has ever happened in the history of anything. So Andrew Hitt should know that. I know
if
that.
If anybody tells you to commit a crime just in case, that's a just in case is a terrible justification.
Also, you can't. How did you not know, one, that this is going to be used? Two, it blows my mind that he was like, I didn't know that they were going to use this, only in the event of it overturning. The formality there, if he's going to play this as just a formality, the actual formality here was when the vice president was supposed to be counting these electors and nothing else besides that. And that's the whole point of the entire January 6th thing, is that this whole thing about Pence changing the electors is made up. It is
all contrived. They knew it was illegal. They stated over and over to each other that it was illegal. And then they tried to do it anyway.
And the Pence thing was the formality, not the fake electors. Let's go to the phones again. Let's see Catherine and Madison. How you doing, Catherine?
Good. How are you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. I just called two brief things. One is, it's obvious there's vote tampering here. And so that whether they bring these up and actually count them or not, they're tampering with the vote. And these people need to go to jail.
Yep.
But aside from that, when I heard Ron Johnson talking, I thought, if you didn't know the topic, like you were from some other country or planet or whatever, and you just heard this person talking, you would know they were lying. I mean, it's so obvious. Any mother can tell this kid is lying through their teeth. So I just wanted to make those remarks to you guys. So,
yeah, I was listening. Evan texted me when I was playing this and said he sounded scared. This guy sounds scared because he is scared. And with good reason. You know who I'm not scared of is Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great. It might sound a little weird. I'm down at the lake with the dog, but he...
you should be.
The term accessory after the fact comes to mind as a term that might be applicable to a whole slew of people in this whole fake electors thing, in addition to all the other crimes that the Trump clan has perpetrated this time, but maybe Jim Santel would have to throw light on that one. But I'd say accessory after the fact. But
I think a little accessory after the fact is a really good a good way to go here, buddy. Pardon me.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to see what's gonna all come out of it.
It's interesting to see what's gonna come out of all that. My goodness, that came out of nowhere. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. It's just a lot of things from deep down inside of my lungs.
Whole lot of coughing and a whole big cheese wheel. But yeah, it's interesting, Mark, to see what is going to come of it. And I'm waiting to hear if Merrick Garland's going to take all this information, because we're coming up on the end of the hearings. There's the evidence is going to be all laid out at this point, and the senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, seems to be more tied up in it than anyone had been aware of to this point.
Nobody had him on the radar, just as a dumbass trying to go and toe the company line. He didn't know why or what he was doing. I don't think they allowed him to do anything, but turns out he was like, no, trouble, I can try.
Outside of this trouble, Brian, he's also underwater in his approval rating here in the state of Wisconsin, according to Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire over at Marquette Law School. So we're going to dive into those numbers as well in this last segment, but still taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Hey, Luke, you know why we trust Marquette Law School polling? Because they have a reputation for being good. Because they have a track record for being trustworthy. And they have a good reputation for being a trustworthy source of information. Unlike Ron Johnson, who has repeatedly shown you that he is not a trustworthy source of information. Come back with us. 844-967-2789.
Announcement of presence with authority.
Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic. So relax. Let's have some fun out here. This game's fun.
WAUK and the Shah are the new kids on the radio block. And that block...
Everybody.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. Got to unmute myself after the break. Sorry about that.
Okay. Scaring me, buddy.
Yeah. Oh. I could see the little rush of excitement in your face as you're like, oh, crap.
Do you see the rush of excitement when I'm playing this song right now?
Yeah.
Because you know what? He just came back. And you know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go on vacation, and guess what? Tomorrow and Friday and Saturday, nobody's going to be able to message me or send me a messenger or tell me that the station's not right or anything, because I'm going to be in the North Woods, and I won't have a signal. So I'm probably going to either have some sort of anxiety attack because I won't know what's going on, or I'll finally just let it all go and not care because I can't.
Do that. Turn off all the notifications. That's what I did last week, and I highly recommend it. Well-deserved time off, buddy. We're going to cover the January 6th hearings that are scheduled for tomorrow.
At this time. Well, right now. Yeah, it'll start at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to carry it live. Evan's going to be your board guy for that whole situation. And then the Devils will jump in once they are at break and also once they are back from break.
And you're going to magically get carried off in the North Woods. You go missing for a couple days. So Monday through Wednesday, I'm just planning to be without you as well.
That's all right. Well, you're going to be without...
You're going to be lost in the North Woods.
Yeah, you're going to be without Dueling Tangents tomorrow, though, for sure, because the January 6th series are going
to
continue.
I'll be standing by to give live commentary, though, for any of the commercial breaks and everything. So we'll be your news source for the January 6th Select Committee's hearings tomorrow. A couple other quick headlines, Brian, before we jump into the Marquette University Law School polling, which I know you're going to get into.
We've hung on a little rojo here for a little bit here.
We have, and I was like, I don't know if we're going to do a little rojo or a lot of rojo, but our callers wanted to talk rojo too, so you know that's what.
You know, we're here to please you, and our tangents are. I had many thoughts. I woke up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, screw that, Ron Johnson.
No, see, Ron Johnson wants to downplay it as a non-story, but it's not.
No, it's nothing. It's not a big story at all. It's just the fake electors that, you know, overturn the election.
No, but a couple of important notes. The Wisconsin legislature gaveled in and out of special session called by Governor Tony Evers to overturn the 1849 abortion ban that is on Wisconsin books.
Did anyone else show up besides the gaveler?
As far as I'm aware, it was the person that gaveled in and gaveled out. I believe one person has to be there besides that person to motion for it. And so there was at least two Republicans, but I doubt most of them were back.
This isn't I have a different idea or a different way to deal with this or, hey, I think this is... No, it's just a gavel in, gavel out. Complete and total disrespect, because they've done this about 10 times. If you ever hear anybody from the legislature, your representative or anybody's representative, complain that, oh, Tony Evers never wants to work with us and Tony Evers never talks to us. They've gaveled in and out 10 times when Tony Evers has tried to deal with things or asked the legislature to deal with things that have to do with, I don't know, elections and, you know, crime.
Gun violence.
And gun
abortion,
violence and racism.
COVID-19.
All the things that people have an issue with, these the Republican legislature has gaveled in and gaveled out because they would rather do nothing this entire year because they gaveled out in February because they are lazy and have no good ideas. Oh, wait, they're not lazy. They're willing to work hard to go and spread a big lie so they can get campaign donations from the Trump faucet.
Yeah, they know to spread lies on elections and they want to cut taxes, but Evers won't sign that. So they got nothing else to do.
But Evers won't work with us.
But here we go. Let's get into some of the numbers, the top-lying numbers, and we'll dive in deeper either later this week or sometime early next week for this Marquette University polling that dropped today. Because for Ron Johnson, his approval, his favorable rating, Brian, is 37%.
Wow, that's really...
37.
See, I saw someone complaining, like, oh, Biden, 35%, ha-ha. Yep.
His unfavorable rule? Unfavorable number, 46%. So he's underwater 9 points on favorability, and he is looking to be reelected this fall by Wisconsin voters. It's a pretty tight race that we were not going to have time to go into all of the head-to-head numbers for the leading candidates on the Democratic side of the election.
Who's the number one? Who would probably win according to this poll?
It looks like Barnes is still leading the polling. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is leading the polling in the Democratic field. But the important thing to look at is, okay, after Democratic primary, when you want to do the head-to-head numbers for these candidates.
These people versus Ron Johnson individually.
Versus Ron Johnson. Yeah. And of the top four candidates that the Marquette University Law School polling had, Mandela Barnes, current Lieutenant Governor, current State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, and Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson all beat Ron Johnson in head-to-head numbers by a couple points. Within the margin of error, but they're leading the incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. The other head-to-head of the four, Alex Lazary, is actually down a couple points. So he and Barnes are kind of in lockstep at the top of that Democratic primary.
So even though Barnes and Lazary are leading what the polling is for the primary, on a head-to-head, Barnes, basically everybody does better than Ron Johnson than Alex Lazary. It seems
except
that
Alex Lazary.
A rich guy going up against a rich guy isn't going to work as well as we would have hoped. And again, I'm not saying that against Alex Lazary. I'm just telling you what the polling is telling you.
Yeah, that is what the poll says. That's not.
I'll take any
more
of Ron Johnson, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's the polling there. And then the other top line from the Marquette University Law School polling is the favorability for Governor Tony Evers, who is running for re-election as well this fall. He's got a 48% approval rating. So kind of par for the course what the governor has been experiencing
lately.
That's
far above what Ron Johnson has gotten.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, only 2 points off a 50-point approval rating.
Do they do favorability on Voss and LeMahieu or Republican legislature at all? Sorry to throw that at you, though.
Nah, I didn't get to dive too far into that, Brian, but there is an interesting update from CPAC that you want to talk about the Wisconsin legislature. And I'll look into the polling. We'll share that with the audience a little bit later. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, has ranked the Wisconsin GOP lawmakers second most conservative in the nation.
Well, you know what? When you do nothing, that's really conservative because you're not
changing
anything.
When you work 2 out of the 12 months of the year, that's a super conservative. It's like hibernating almost the rest of the year.
Honestly, unless you repeal laws, you couldn't be more conservative.
Yeah,
they will ride whatever it is into the ground until they're forced to change it. And then they'll complain that they don't have the thing they had before.
Guess which state they trailed? The only state that's more conservative of a legislature than the Wisconsin GOP.
North Korea.
Florida.
Wow. Florida, the gay state? Are you kidding me? Seriously?
Florida is the only most conservative legislature. Not talking about the whole state as a whole.
I was going to say.
Just the legislature.
And we all know that, thanks to gerrymandering, that doesn't necessarily always reflect the will of the people. Anyway, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. It's great stuff, right?
Yeah, stay tuned for the Devil's Advocates. We got a terrific guest host coming up this next
Kristen
hour.
Kristen Bry is coming on. Then you got Dom.
So stay
Kristen
tuned.
Bry for the first 2 hours, then Dom.
And Dom. And tomorrow we will be the center of your coverage for the January 6th Select Committee hearings. So tune in then. We will talk to you later.
As of now, it's at 2 p.m. That could change because they've gotten some more information.